Well, we're going to spend a little time in God's Word. No surprise there, right? So we're going to go first to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to share on the subject of seeking God first. Seeking God first. And a good question to ask yourself is, what is the most important thing to me, to my heart? What is it that just electrifies me, or I feel that I should think it's the most important thing? What is it? And if we recognize that, what it is, then we compare it to what God's Word says and see if they match. They match, that's a good thing. But everybody has something that's the most important thing to them. I mean, everybody has something. Or maybe they've got two or three things, they're all equal, maybe. But there are things that are important to people and other things not important. Like bird watching is not an important thing to me. But some people like it, nothing wrong with that. Susan and I were on a cruise once. We went on one of those daily excursions with Jeff and Deborah Duclos were with us. And we got on the wrong excursion. We ordered the wrong excursion. The description wasn't quite what it was. And we're going down this little river in a small boat, maybe held 10, 15 people. And it was supposed to be like a little cruise down the river and then back up to the ship. And the guy stopping like every minute, right along the water edge. And you know, it was like jungle-ish. And he's starting to point out, like a bird, and you can't even see the bird. He goes, he's trying to describe where the thing is. It's taking a while doing that. And the first time it happened, I thought, all right, maybe the guy's, just pointing out something. And then we go down another minute or so, and he stops the ship, the thing, and points out another one. And after the third or fourth, he said, I think we're on the wrong bird. That bird watching thing. And they were all into it. It's like they all got their cameras out. It's like, oh, really? I thought, at first, I just didn't get it at first. But anyway, there's nothing wrong with bird watching. God made them and all, but it may not be an interest to most people. So what is the most important thing to us? Well, we do see it in the physical realm. When we're hungry, what's really important to us is food. When we're thirsty, what's really important to us is some type of liquid. When we're tired, what's really important to us, you may even see it, say it. I just want to go to bed, or I just want to go to sleep, or I just want to get some rest. When we're really cold, what we're really interested in, what we're really seeking is heat. When we're really hot, we're seeking something cool. So in the physical realm, we do it all the time. And Jesus Christ said this incredible thing in chapter 6 of what we should seek for first. And in verse 33, very familiar verse of Scripture, chapter 6, verse 33, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What are all these things? Well, if you read the context, we're going to look at it quickly. Go back to verse 24. It's a teaching concerning not being concerned about all the things you need in life. Verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon referring to just material things. You can't split your allegiance. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought." Take no thought is Old English for don't be concerned or worried. Don't worry. "Take no thought," or "don't worry for your life what you're going to eat, or what you should drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment or clothing? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, by worrying about all these things you think you need, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought, or why worry for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, or don't worry, saying, well, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to be clothed with? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Gentiles referring to people who do not believe in God, or at least the true God. They seek after those things. And that's their primary priority of thinking. I want to make sure I'm going to eat. I want to make sure I'm going to drink. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. And then in context, this great verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, referring to food, raiment, clothing, referring to all your essential things of living life, will be added unto you. So, great scripture. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 51. I mean 21. Just when it says seek ye first, just want to show that this is a Greek word called proton. And ironically, it means first. First, in 5:21, we're just going to look at a couple of scriptures and see how it's used. 5:21. Well, that's not it. Okay, we'll move to chapter 7, verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of the brother's eye. People always complain about other people and how terrible they are. And he's saying, hey, why don't you clean up your own life first? You'll be all right. But here it is. First cast out the beam out of your own eye.
Matthew 5:24.
5:24? Thanks. Let's go to 5:24. It's about a disagreement with your brother, and part of the solution is verse 24. It says, leave there the gift before the altar, and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know, take care of the rift that's between you and your brother before you come to the altar with a gift. It just shows a priority. Chapter 8, verse 21. Jesus was encouraging this man to make a decision to follow him, and he said, well, you know, this and that, in verse 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer or allow me first to go and bury my father. You know, that he wanted to do that before he took care of anything else. That was what he wanted to do first. And then let's go to chapter 12. You know, they seem simple. They are. Chapter 12, verse 29. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? You know, somebody comes to rob your house, you got to bind up the people that are in it, or get them, you know, where they're not going to do anything. Then you can take all you want. You know, there's first things first, even in stealing. Chapter 13 is our last one, verse 30. it's a farming thing here, but both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So, it was a priority of what gets gathered first and dealt with. So when Jesus Christ said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, he really meant second or third or fourth or fifth down the line. No, that's first is first. So it's like the guy who tattoos
his girlfriend
or his wife, probably his girlfriend's name on his arm at, you know, his first love, and then things change. Got it crossed out.
That's the next one.
You know, there's what first is first. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. So God wants us to seek Him first, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. His kingdom is described in the Word of God. His righteousness is described in the Word of God. And part of that is loving Him, which we'll see here, chapter 12 of Mark, verse 30. And thou shalt, this is Jesus Christ, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. It basically covers all of life there. He wants your whole heart. He wants your whole mind. Some of us have the excuse, I don't have much left, so. And he says, I'll take what you got. Whatever you got, I want it all. All your strength and all your soul life. See, that's just the way he wants it. So we're going to look at three things fairly quickly in light of seeking God. One is seeking him in terms of service. So we're going to first go to John chapter 21, last chapter of John, Gospel of John. And this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he meets up with his apostles. And they had somewhat left their post. They went fishing. They were like, I think we're done here. And then Jesus appears, shows up. He has some food and things for him on the beach for him. And he starts talking to him. And he starts talking to Peter. And he asks Peter a great question. Verse 15, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he's referring to the fish that they were eating and that they had caught and all that. You love those things more than me? It's a good question. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. So if you love me, then feed my lambs. And the feed is, you know, to literally feed, and the lambs is the little babies. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And these are adult sheep. And the word feed is a different word feed than the first one, Greek-wise. The first one just basically means to feed. This one is more like shepherding. It's to tend, to take care of. Actually, you translated as the word shepherd in many other verses. You know, take care of my sheep. And in verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And it's an ellipsis, you know, more than these, more than this that you just left me for. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You know, he was endeavoring to get Peter to, he knew Peter was called out to serve and to lead God's people, and he's getting them to really put God first. You know, he had just abandoned Jesus Christ, went fishing. Like, in his heart, he's going back to fishing. And he's calling him back and saying, you really love those things more than you love me? Peter's response was a good response. So he was working with Peter. And as we know, Peter really stepped up to the plate and did incredible things in service. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Not everybody responds that way. But we can respond however we choose, and as we just stay put on what it is we choose, as long as it's the right thing, the right choice. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, and in verse 10, it's referring to a man named Demas. "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Demas was a leader in the church, the believers in that day and time, and he slowly, or I don't know if it's slow or not, but he changed from his seeking God in service to starting to seek other things. And then he eventually got to a point where he was more in love with the things that the world has to offer, which has a lot to offer, than that which God called him in service. He didn't see the service that he had for God as that important anymore, and slowly kind of switched over. It's very unfortunate, and we have seen it. We never want it to happen to us. And it can always be prevented by just staying put on God's word. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians. The way to not get like that is to stay put on God's word. Peter, when Jesus Christ asked him a question three times, "You love me more than those things, those fish? And what's the most important thing to you?" And it's an honest question. And we all have to go through it every day. What is it that I really am going to do and love and live for? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sorry, yeah, chapter 11, verse 3. This is referring to a reference to Eve, Adam's wife, and she was deceived by the serpent in the garden. Verse 3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety or craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So somewhere along the line, things start changing in the direction you want to go or are going. Susan and I watched a little documentary on the preacher John Wesley, whom actually I might be named after. I'm John Wesley Pittenger. And my great-grandfather was John Wesley Pittenger. Same name. Yeah, and he may have been named after John Wesley, who knows, I don't know. But I was named after my great-grandfather. But I've known some things about his life, reading about him in other years, so I thought it'd be interesting to see his documentary. And I didn't realize he did all these, I knew he traveled by horseback, did a lot of outside teaching, but he did everything outside teaching. And what's the point I was going to make? Oh.
Excuse me.
That's thought you were looking in your shirt for the answer.
I've got a
cryptic
in there.
Got a cheat sheet in there. Oh, he read from the scriptures that God's grace and love and goodness is to all people. You know, there's no reason, you know, God doesn't say, "I like that Tony, but I don't like that John." You know, his grace is available to all. And he got in trouble by the denominations for preaching outside because they said, preaching salvation is never fit to be done on an outside basis. Should always be in a church building. And I was shocked that of all things to be persecuted about, well, you're preaching salvation in the wrong location. But that's how silly things can creep in. The simplicity of Christ is lost because the devil tricks people. And he had that whole denomination saying, you can't really preach outside salvation. Where does it say that in the scripture? But, you know, it happens. And so what goes through our goofy heads at times? Something. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. But we want to seek God in our service to Him. Seek Him first in our service. and to his people. Ephesians chapter 10, and we're just going to read through. Here's how the... verse 10. I'm just excited. Chapter 6, verse 10. Unless I'm goofy in reading. And here's how we overcome being compromised by the world. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in people's opinions, not in the world's opinions, but in strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And there are wiles of the devil that come up. For, reason being, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It just shows a little bit of the spiritual contest that goes on. There are devil spirits, there's a devil, he causes unrest, he causes problems, he causes people to lose sight of who he is and who the Word of God, what the Word of God is. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereof you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, which you shouldn't teach outside, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So those prayers would help Paul to seek God and keep God first in his service, and then they helped enable him, those prayers. So now we're going to go to 1 Timothy. We're going to look at seeking God first in doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter, well, we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Seek God first in doctrine. Doctrine is how to believe rightly. And doctrine is given in the scriptures in the New Testament. Chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat at the canker, which also could be like gangrene or cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith or believing of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we should study God's word. We should shun things that are contrary to the written scriptures. And it's not like a matter of opinion. Is if God says A is A, and somebody says no, A is B, we have a choice now. We're going to say A is A or A is B. You know, the scriptures are very plain in what he wants us to believe or to do or to not do. And then we shun things that are contrary to it. Shun it. We don't have to argue about it, to argue with it, or try to convince them otherwise. We shun it in our hearts and lives. And lastly, we're going to look at Romans chapter 5. So we seek God first in doctrine. You know, we go to God's Word and say, okay, what does the Word of God say concerning this subject? Like those people who were all upset about the silver trinkets for Diana of the Ephesians. It was a goddess that so many people worshipped. And then when they started hearing the truth of God's word, some people said, I can't believe I've been worshipping her all these years, and went to the one true God. And other people got upset. That, oh no, how could you defame the great goddess Diana? Well, what does God say? And then the last one is to seek God in our relationships. Seek God first in our relationships. And we have lots of relationships. We have marital relationships, if you're married, relationships with children, or children, if you have children, with grandchildren, with friends, with neighbors, with associates, with people in the grocery store, people outside the grocery store, people with masks, people without masks, you name it. There's all kinds of relationships out there. So we're to seek God first in all of all the relationships. It should be God first. And in chapter 1, and the reason is, God made this relationship available. If it wasn't for God making the relationship to him available, we wouldn't have it. You know, we couldn't go up to God and said, hey, you know, I think we ought to be buddies. I think you ought to be my father, and I think these are all these things you should do for me. And I'll ignore you when I want. And be happy with you when I want. No, he's the one that set it up. And then if we hear about it and we believe it, we can enjoy it. But he's the one that set it up. And here's how he did it. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, or by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, or brought back together to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And the atonement, if you pronounce it at one, it's actually accurate, you know, to play on pronunciation, but atonement means to be one, so to speak. We're at one with God. It's a relationship that he's made available. And if we seek God first in terms of a relationship, that means we want him to be first in our lives. That sweet relationship. It says he's our father. We're his kids. And he wants that sweetness there. He wants us to go to him. He's always coming to us saying, how you doing? What are you going to do? He's there. It's just a matter of we responding. Are we looking? Are we seeking him, or is he just a fire escaper? Once, well, I really need some help. And, you know, I remember, he's a pretty good fireman. I'll call him up. And he always shows up and helps. That's good. And, you know, but he wants our all. He wants our entire heart, our entire love, all our soul. We would like that for our own children, if we have children, that they love us. I mean, it's no fun raising a kid and then when they're 18, they give you the middle finger.
Or earlier.
Or earlier. How much fun is that? You know? So he made the relationship available, and he said, just seek me first. I'll take care of everything you need, really. I'm capable. I really am. So it's just wonderful. But we seek God as our Father first above all relationships. I love my wonderful Susan. But I don't love her more than I love God Almighty. That would be atrocious. I mean, she's wonderful, but there's really no comparison. I mean, what can I say? You know?
And vice versa.
And vice versa, absolutely. She'd be stupid. So, but, you know, that's what really makes for a lively relationship. You know, we're seeking him first. And it's a good question to ask ourselves. What am I doing with my heart? What am I seeking? What am I not seeking? When you find out what you're not seeking is what you should be seeking, then you just honestly say, you know, I'm going to make a couple changes. So, and we do it. And God's forgiving, he's loving, he's kind. I can't ever remember a time where I realized something, you know, that what I was doing or what I was thinking wasn't lined up with the Word, and I thank God for forgiveness, and I said, here's what I need to help change. And boom, it was always right there immediately. He never, like, dangled it out there and said, I want you to suffer for a while. It was always, and it still is, always immediate. He's not trying to bang us over the head. He wants that relationship. He loves us. So it's just terrific. So we just seek him first, and all these other wonderful things in life will be part of our lives if it's good for us. If it's not good for us, well, it won't. Or at least he won't be the one giving it. So